Activism has never been a like a vocation, at least for me. It's just an expression of if I'm going to be true to my values, you got to do something about them. And since there aren't that many people always doing something about them, you end up somehow being a leader. Like it's I have actually a formula from my youth movement days, which is that values are what you live by, vision is what you live towards, and leadership is just simply living your values towards your vision. So anybody can do it. Anybody can be a leader, actually, in that context. Not a question of money, because I have none, right? Not a question of pedigree, because there's nothing, outstanding. It's not a question of class. It's not related to religiosity or, how many university degrees you get or anything. It's actually an act of leadership anybody can do if they have clarity around their values and their vision. So I was fortunate enough to start early enough in. I've been doing this stuff for over 25 years now. So it kind of adds up. So it was a natural outgrowth of being already a national, international activist for Israel Soviet Jewry and anti-apartheid work. So, but it was certainly something that you don't, it's not like you feel prepared for. Oh, yes, I'm ready to fly around in Edgar Bronfman's, airplane and organize demonstrations around the world. But the first thing we did, one of the first things is that I had been involved with the Soviet Jewry movement deeply here and student struggle for Soviet Jewry and what was called the Student Coalition for Soviet Jewry. We did a Washington lobby day. Like 800 students would come in third Thursday in February. It was great. They'd all sleep on the floor of a synagogue in D.C., would brief everybody, they'd go up on the hill and met with congressmen, senators, would have our talking points. It was phenomenal. And we called it it was called the International Student Solidarity Day for Soviet Jewry. So all of a sudden, I'm the head of the World Union of Jewish Students. I go, does anybody know about this International Student Solidarity Day? And he was like, only Canada and the U.S. knew it, so they called it international. It's like, we're going to go for it. And we did 23 countries. We had rallies, demonstrations, teach-ins, workshops, whatever, on the same day, globally, on that third Thursday in 87, which is a key date because the big rally that really broke the Iron Curtain, whatever, was in December of 87 in D.C. Gorbachev was coming to meet with Reagan for a big summit. Wiesel and Sharansky, both having moral authority and connection to the issue, cajole the Jewish community, inspire the Jewish community, sorry, to do the right thing, march in Washington. It was like freezing weather. George Bush Sr. was the vice president who addressed the crowd. In Israel, what we did, it was a small thing outside the Soviet intersection in Tel Aviv, but we brought busloads of Ethiopian kids to protest outside the Soviet intersection in 87. So it's after Operation Moses and pre-Operation Solomon, and it was a great statement of peoplehood. It was really it was beautiful. And the Soviets understood that no matter what happened worldwide, they were going to be faced with this quote-unquote problem. And Sharansky and others credited the students, in particular students and housewives, what he said, with the victories of the Soviet Jewry movement.